And what we can say about the real women of ancient Greece is very, very little. However, on the few occasions where we can hear women speaking in their own voice, what I'm struck by is how modern and contemporary are the emotions that we see, that the emotional life that we find for women in the ancient world is one that we can recognize. For example, we have a funeral, we have many funeral markers, but we have one notable one, which is put up in honor of a girl called Mnesagora. It was put up to Mnesagora and her brother, and it was erected by her parents, who, on the inscription that goes with the relief carving, talk about the way in which they are overwhelmed with grief at the loss of their children, their son and their daughter. And such epitaphs are repeated throughout the Greek world and only become more and more common as more and more inscriptions turn up in the 4th century and the Hellenistic period. Inscriptions in which men put up epitaphs to their wives, acknowledging their qualities as great partners, as women that they loved, as women who made a good home. In one notable case, an inscription put up by a man who says, not only were you the ideal wife and a great partner, but you were also a doctor every bit as skilled as I am. So there's a kind of truth, I believe, in some of these inscriptions that isn't to be found either in literature or on the Athenian stage, where women nearly always end up dead, being hung or buried alive or poisoned or thrown off the walls. It's not on the stage that you'll find real Greek women. It's not in the literature either. It is here, I think, in these epitaphs, in the emotions of people talking about someone close to them who has died. And, of course, all too common in this category of evidence are the epitaphs of women who died in childbirth. Women beginning their lives as mothers at an early age, often married by 15, having their first children by 16, and unfortunately often dying before they are physically yet ready, really, for the task of bearing children. Just as men's epitaphs tend to record their accomplishments as either warriors or statesmen, so too the epitaphs that we have for women from the Greek world tend to present their accomplishments in terms of the web of family relations. A good example of this is the headstone of a woman called Polyxena, who, when she died, had an inscription put up, or her family put it up in her honour, saying that this was Polyxena, who was the wife of Archelaus, the child of Theodectes, and a mother. In other words, the glory of a woman in the Greek world was that she should find herself at the center of a web of human relations. The common denominator behind nearly all the sources that I've referred to in talking about women in the Greek world is that these sources are by men, historians, poets, legislators, speech writers. These are all men, and there are few actual women's voices that can be heard from the world of the ancient Greeks. However, the one that we do have is a voice that we would be the poorer for if we did not have it. It is the voice of Sappho, one of the greatest of the lyric poets, who at one point in her poetry addresses a woman that she loves and says to her, "The man sitting next to you to me seems like a god." And in that poem, she expresses all the longing, not just of a woman or a man, but of a human being. It is a precious voice. Unfortunately, we have very little more than Sappho, so that we're left reconstructing the lives of women from the voices of men. I think what we can conclude, however, is that the experience of women in the ancient world was one of the areas in which the world of the Greeks had some similarity and definitely marked differences from our own world.